Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today our scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, which says, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." There's a wonderful salvation scripture where the Lord Jesus says that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There's no other way to get to God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but through me. So it's very clear. There's only one God, and there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to come to earth to live a sinless life, and the goal was to go to the cross and bear our sins, your sins and my sins, in his own body as he hung on the tree. He took our place. He was our substitute, and because of that, he was the righteous, pure, perfect Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for us, who gave his own life for us. And because of that great work that he did in his own body as he hung on the tree and he took our place, that we are redeemed by his precious blood. And we, as we come into fellowship with him, as we ask him to come into our life, the Bible tells us that we become new creatures. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And these things are possible as we have a relationship with him. And over the years, I know that in my own life, that God has transformed me from a sinner who constantly thought about sin, and he has transformed my life. And if he can do it in my life, I'm sure he can do it in yours. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him and as you realize that he is the only God, he is the only way of salvation, he is the only way of hope, and he's the one that you need to have in your heart so that
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. For Mission Moments, this broadcast, I would like to continue to share reports from some of our missionaries in various parts of the world, so you can get a glimpse of their lives. Now, from Uganda, we read that one of our couples attended an orientation training. For the Truth-Centered Transformation Program, the keynote speaker gave an incredible testimony on how his church, along with many others, has been transformed. Not only through the program, but through the Holy Spirit and the reliance on His Word in leading this disciple-based program. Lessons taught were trusting the Word of God to believe we can make a difference in walking in truth. The trainer taught them, saying, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Truths from the Word in Romans 12 verse. This powerful meeting with a group of pastors and leaders completed their training, and all were encouraged. The missionaries report that God would enable them to apply these truths to each of their communities as they trained in life skills. One of the other national leaders has a youth ministry in a nearby town. The Mission Go woman missionary was invited to speak on a panel for ladies. It was quite a question and answer session, and girls could ask anything that was on their minds. Discussions about navigating youth life in a world of turmoil were common. It was an honor to encourage these girls to talk in truth and find identity in Christ. We shared that when we truly believe He loves us deeply, we can follow His way knowing He wants us. In a meeting with a group of young men on our team, they had the opportunity to talk with a young disabled man who had become a believer. Later we observed he had gained confidence. He is leading others to the Lord in his town. He has been a light there and is a testimony. Thanks to all of you for your prayers. From our missionary family in Sierra Leone, we share greetings from hot and dusty West Africa. I am reminded of the psalmist's words, "As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants after you, O God. I pray that we will daily long for His refreshing presence, even as we long for cool, refreshing rain." We have come through the month of Ramadan. Each year we come to understand a little more about our Muslim neighbors and friends. Many of them come to us for cold water with which to break their fast at sunset. We pray for them to soon meet Jesus so we can truly quench their thirst forever with the living water. It has been a busy few months. We are excited to welcome several volunteer groups. We enjoy sweet fellowship around the dinner table. A lovely missionary couple got married recently, combining their efforts for the Lord. Members of their families for a short visit. A group of dentists who are in the country spent two afternoons with us, pulling over 90 teeth and handing out Bibles and sharing gospel messages with many. A joy to us has been a midwife from Virginia who is with us for the past 3 months. She has delivered several babies. The national nurses learned so much from her. We all are blessed by her smile and encouraging words. The Henry family of three came in March for a month. They just recently joined the Mission Go team to share Jesus in this district through teaching, discipleship, and counseling. We are so looking forward to having them return full time. They have returned to the States, and once adequate support has been raised, will return for full time service in the country. Then last week, we welcomed the Norris family, who are working here in Mokanji for the next 2 years in an area of teaching medicine and discipleship, praying earnestly to the Lord of Harvest to send out laborers into His harvest, Matthew 9:38. We also rejoice that our recent team was able to baptize over 27 new believers who confess Jesus as Lord. The rafters are up on our new primary school, and the first year's curriculum is waiting for us at the port in Freetown. It's really happening. We spent some time this week with the principal in the city of Bow, who has a similar vision to reach children for the kingdom and raise them to be men and women of God. The water well drilling team has been working on their 20th new well since December, as well as having repaired and deepened several wells. Please pray for the safety of the workers and the equipment. We pray the vehicles continue running well, as it is a full-time job keeping them operating. In closing, we thank you from our heart, as it is not possible without you, our prayer partners and supporters, and we do appreciate you. We wish you could all be here with us. For now, we want you to know we carry you in our heart. This month, we are offering a small book by Harvest Pocketbooks, written by Amir Sarfati. It is titled, "Jesus is Coming, Any Day Now." Amir Sarfati is a native Israeli and former major in the Israel Defense Forces. He is the founder and president of the Behold Israel, a nonprofit ministry that provides Bible teaching through tours, conferences, and social media. It also provides unique access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. Amir is married and has 4 children and resides in northern Israel. Any Day Now is an excerpt from Amir Sarfati's book, The Day Approaching. As you read, you'll learn about the plans God has for the world, Israel, and the church. Signs around us, all pointing to Christ's imminent return, and the Holy Spirit is doing incredible work in the world right now, wonders that await every Christian in Jesus's kingdom. To receive your copy of this book, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 12N10, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7S7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour, where we wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Ooh.
Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. Oh, the thrills my soul is Jesus. He
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson. Printed copies are available upon request. Today's message is from the Reverend Art Larson and is entitled Christ's Sovereignty. It is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Printed copies are available upon request.
You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. In our studies in the book of Philippians, we come to one of the most amazing passages, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Listen as I read, and we're going to study them, and it has to do with the mind. You don't want to miss it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. The late Dr. Robert Cook has written an interesting little thought on this. He says almost any business magazine you pick up today will have an article on the value and availability of computers. Do you realize that you have between your two ears a computer far more complex and efficient than anything that industry will ever be able to build? Your computer has the ability to communicate between the billions of electrical contacts that God has built into your brain. More than that, it has the expertise to reason and to draw conclusions based upon that reasoning, and that is something a manufactured computer cannot do. The Apostle Paul in this portion of Scripture says, "Let this mind, the mind of Christ, be in you." That is, put him in charge of your personal computer, that mind of yours. There is a saying among programmers in the computer business that's represented by four letters, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. It is likewise true that what you put into your mind will later show up in your life. A lot of God's people are feeding their minds mainly on the garbage of this world. Then they are surprised when under pressure. That kind of worthlessness is all they have. Don't expect God to do a miracle in upgrading the contents of your mind. He has left that task to you. Let Jesus be the Lord of your mind. Now think with me again as we study verse 5 and 6 Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One who thinks in a certain way is one who's spoken of as having a certain type of mind. In what way is the Christian then to think? What kind of a mind is a Christian to have? Paul said the believer was to think the same way as Jesus Christ, to have the same kind of mind that he had. Now, Paul was concerned about the Philippian believers and all Christians having the same attitude that Jesus had. You could make a study of the Bible, gleaning from its pages different characteristics of the attitude of the Lord Jesus, but Paul had his own specific illustration as he wrote to the Philippians. Having said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus," the question that could naturally be expected is, well, what kind of a mind was this? And so in verses 6, 7, and 8, Jesus Christ is told to us as to how he thought. Although this section is primarily an illustration to show believers how they ought to think, it is one of the most significant theological passages in all of the Bible. The greatest encouragement to people relationships is the attitude of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, "Look not on your own things, but on the things of others." Jesus Christ did not look on his own things, but gazed with love and heartbreak on the things of others. His own things were a throne and a crown, a position and a name, but the things that he saw in the lives of men and women were sin and sorrow, disease and desperation. So he acted sacrificially by refusing to hold on to his rights, by exchanging his throne for a stable and his crown for a cross. And therein, friend, lies not only the basis of our redemption, but the principle of our behavior as true believers in Jesus Christ. It was sacrifice that brought atonement to our souls, and it is sacrifice in lifestyle that brings liberty to your life. The Christian who needs to reevaluate his thinking or her thinking is the Christian who demands the sacrifice of Christ for their sins, but rejects the sacrificial attitude of Christ in their own life, in the nitty-gritty personal relationships with people in general, and Christians in particular. Remember, Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than his master." The sacrifice was his method, and it also must be our method. Now listen again as we think about this concerning these verses, in particular verse 6, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." The key word in this verse is the one which is translated form, the form of God. The word is the Greek word morphe, which appears three times in the New Testament, here and Mark 16:12 and Philippians 2:6-7. It's translated form in each case. And the word emphasizes the inner essence of a person or thing. Thus, Paul was telling the Philippians that when Jesus Christ was with the Father before he came to earth, he had the inner essence of God. Paul would never have consented to any teaching that made Jesus Christ less than God. Many in Paul's day, and of course in our day, many today, do not believe that Jesus Christ was God. But Jesus Christ was not only God before he came to earth, but even while he was on earth. He claimed that he was equal with God. If he had claimed to be less than God, he would not have so disturbed the leaders of that day in the Jewish nation. They clearly understood what his claims were. Listen to John 5:18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken their Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." John 5:18. Even though some today refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is God and that he is equal with the Father, the Jewish leaders clearly understood his claims, and this is why they hated him so bitterly. The phrase, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God," is not really easy to be understood. It actually means that though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. From this verse, it's apparent that there was some element of Jesus' equality with God that he was willing to give up. What was it? One cannot give up the qualities of his inner nature. He is God. But he can relinquish the right, in some respects, to outwardly express that inner nature. Even though Christ was God himself and had the right to display his attributes, he willingly gave up this right in order to come to earth to be the Savior of the world. He did not cease being in the form of God as to his inner nature, but he gave up being equal with God as far as the expression of some of his attributes was concerned. He literally stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, or stripped, as Lightfoot, one commentator, says, of the insignia of majesty. Now listen again. Friend, it says in the scripture that Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, that means he outwardly manifested the inner reality of his being, and his inner reality was deity. And I want to say a word about this. Too many people want to reject the deity of Jesus Christ in these days. They say lovely things about him. They say many true things about him. But they deny the basic fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And then people run into problems over the Trinity. They can't understand the Trinity, and so they deny the existence of the Trinity. Because they haven't come across anything like the Trinity in any other form, they deny the possibility of a Trinity in divine form. But their argument doesn't really hold water. If God is God, he is supreme, and if God is supreme, we can expect him to have forms and to be of a certain nature beyond human comprehension. Jesus Christ really was deity. His deity was equal with that of the Father, and he did not hang on to that equality. He was prepared to lay aside his position of being in the form of God, to divest himself of all the trappings of glory, to be made in the likeness of men, and to step from deity into humanity. We're talking in terms of Christ being God and Christ being man. We're talking in terms of deity stepping into humanity. We're talking in terms of heaven emptying itself of its greatest treasure and investing itself in earth. Christ accepted the privilege and responsibility of humbling himself and coming down to this earth. Let me read you some scriptures that underscore the fact that Jesus Christ is God, that he is God in human flesh. He always was God before he came to earth. And even though being in the form of God did not grasp at that equality here in the sense that he had a human body, he still was, is, and always will be God. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In verse 14 of John 1, it says, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John writes about his relationship with him in 1 John chapter 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, we've seen him with our eyes, we've looked upon him, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and then was manifested unto us." In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Now listen to verse 3. "Who," Jesus, "who being the brightness of his glory," of God's glory, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." How precious and how wonderful it is to realize when we read these great words that this Lord Jesus Christ, the God who made you and me, who made all things, stepped out of eternity into time and became our blessed Savior, that through personal faith in him and his death on the cross, we might have life and have it eternally. Certainly, Jesus Christ was God. The Bible clearly says it. Jesus Christ himself claimed it. In John chapter 8, when they were talking to him about his age, he said, verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am," using that name that only God uses, "I am that I am." Jesus said in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. It says without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. This simply means that an external form truly indicative of the inner nature from which it springs was what Jesus Christ was here. In external form, he had the form of a human being, but he truly was God. God may change his form, but he cannot cease to be God. And because Jesus Christ was God and died for you and me, then you and I must bow in his presence, thank him and praise him, and realize the price that he paid, that God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Will you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Will you hold on to all of your rights and your so-called privileges? Or will you let go and let God be God in your life? Will you let Jesus Christ control your mind and bring into your mind his thoughts, his principles, his wonderful truth, so that you walk as someone who has, as Paul indicated in 1 Corinthians, the mind of Christ? The Lord is King. I own his power to rule each day and hour. I own his claim on my heart and will, and his demands I will fulfill. O Lord, my King, I turn to thee. Thy loyal service makes me free. My daily task thou shalt assign, for my heart and my life and my will are thine. If you know who he is, it's easy to surrender your life to him. Do it today, my friend.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these verses from the Bible, from the book of Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Remember to order your copy of the booklet titled God Jesus is Coming Any Day Now, written by Amir Sarfati. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Questions about this broadcast? Write to Tammy Campbell, Canada's National Bible Hour, member of MGO Broadcast Network. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.